our friends at Standard & Poor's once again are making news here in Mexico, and it had to do with some decisions or some comments that they made this Tuesday, which it's been fascinating trying to figure out exactly what they said, because depending on which analysts you listen to or which media group you follow, some of it is being kind of couched as a positive comment. Others are couching it as an extremely negative comment. That's why I really appreciate today's guest, Joydeep Mukherjee. He is he's the analyst primarily responsible for Mexico's sovereign rating. Joydeep, welcome to the show. You all are so misunderstood sometimes here in Mexico. How are you?
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for giving me the chance to clear up the misunderstanding.
So tell us exactly what did you all publish? What was the comment that was made?
I mean, we basically give a letter grade, a credit rating, and it just is a reference to the ability and willingness of the government to pay its debt. Nothing more than that. It's not like saying, you know, you're a great government, you're a bad government. It's just focusing on the ability to pay the debt. And we have a scale, goes from AAA at the top all the way down to the C's and D in default. Mexico has a BBB+ rating in our scale, which is sort of in the upper half of the scale and well above the middle point of the scale. So it's what we call investment grade. What we did recently was basically two things. One, we affirmed the rating where it was. There was no change to the rating. Mm-hmm. You could interpret that as good news if you wanted to.
Right.
The other action we did is we changed the outlook on the rating. The outlook is simply an adjective. The rating itself is a noun. The rating didn't change. But the outlook is basically a signal that we assign to the rating when we think that there's a tendency leaning in one direction or the other. And so what we did was we assigned a negative outlook on the rating, which simply means that we think there's at least a 1 in 3 chance that this rating could go down in the next 2 years. That doesn't mean it's going to go down. It's just 1 in 3.
Now, my understanding that this comment or this outlook has to do with concerns in regards to Mexico's debt. Is that correct?
Yes. What we've highlighted is, if you look at the debt of the government sector, it was about 28% of GDP about a decade ago, and now it's around 45%, and it's climbing, and it may go up another couple of points in the next few years. So, you know, the last 10 years have been fairly stable in Mexico in terms of, you know, you've had low inflation, positive growth, things like that. This is not the 1980s or 90s, you know, crises and all that. But while things have been stable and there's, you know, some good news on the economic front, this debt number just keeps rising, you know, as a proportion of the economy. And we're signaling our concern about that. It's not going to explode or suddenly leap up, but it seems to be rising steadily regardless of who's in power and what the government's policies are. And we've connected that with economic growth, because one of the things that stands out in Mexico is that the country has had, you know, economic growth. It's had positive performance, but it's a very low number. The growth is, you know, between 2 or 3%, which isn't very much once you adjust for population growth. And really, in life, you often grow out of your problems. And if the Mexican economy were to grow a little faster, then the money that would automatically come into the government from, you know, more people working and paying taxes, that would take care of this deficit and the debt such that it probably wouldn't be going up every year the rate it has been. So we're really focusing on the growth to say, you know, that has been kind of slowed, a little disappointing, and that has consequences slowly on what we do.
Now, let's try to put this in context for some of our older listeners. We're not talking about a tequila crisis here, are we? Or, I mean, where are we? I mean, what are we talking about?
No, we're not talking about
which,
a crisis.
By the way, for our listeners, that happened in the mid-1990s. So don't, if you don't know what we're talking about, it's okay. You're probably on the younger side of our listeners. But we're not talking about that, right?
No. I think if you look at the pillars of the Mexican economy now and compare to the back in the 1990s, you find that there's been a tremendous improvement, and that's why no one's talking about a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about a slowdown, or we're talking about the fact that you're not moving ahead as fast as you could. But, things like no one's really worried about inflation in Mexico, and the Mexican peso, while it may have gone down quite a bit last year against the dollar, at the end of the day, it is the most traded peso in the financial market of any emerging market country.
Mm-hmm.
It's remarkable for a currency which had hyperinflation only a couple of decades ago. So
mm-hmm.
we're not talking about that set of problems. We're talking about a much more benign set of issues here.
Now, let me just read you a phrase that was in your press release. It says, or in your document, it says, and I'm quoting, although Mexico's debt burden is moderate, the government has less fiscal room to maneuver than it had a decade ago. What does that mean?
You think about it in terms of, say, your own personal finances. Let's say that you have very low debt, and you have your salary and your expenses, and something happens, like you have a flood in your home, you've got to pay things, or you suffer some sickness and you have some hospital bills to pay. If you don't have a lot of debt, you may be able to scrape through fairly easily, draw down your savings, or even borrow some money, because people see that you're in good shape to repay it.
Mm-hmm.
Now contrast that with having a large debt that you're living hand to mouth, servicing the debt, and suddenly you have the same kind of negative event or catastrophe, then you just don't have the capacity to respond like you could if you had lower debt. So that's what we're signaling. It's not a crisis, but it's a lot easier having low debt and coping with, say, a potential downturn in the U.S. economy,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to having a lot of debt, because it really reduces your room for maneuver. Your options are limited when you have to pay a lot of debt.
Mm-hmm. Today's guest is Joydeep Mukherjee. He is the principal analyst responsible for Mexico's sovereign rating. Joydeep, could you please stay on the line? Because when we come back, I want to continue our conversation. And I want to ask you if you all get a little, are you as frustrated as many of us are in regards to the Mexican economy? Because it's a very strange, because in many ways, I guess compared to other economies around the world, it's pretty stable. But as you said, it's just not growing. So could you please stay on the line, and we'll continue our conversation with Joydeep from Standards and Poor's. Please don't go away. I'm Ana Maria Salazar, and I'll be right back. Today's guest is Joydeep Mukherjee. He is the analyst primarily responsible for Mexico's foreign debt at Standard and Poor's. And before we went to a commercial break, Joydeep, I mean, it's interesting because when I speak to analysts, there's kind of this, I sense sometimes somewhat of a conflict because or frustration maybe is a word, because in many ways Mexico is doing quite well compared to other economies, but then it just doesn't grow. But at the same time, Mexico has had these, has approved these very important structural reforms that international analysts applauded, but at the same time the price of oil fell, and then there's questions in regards, but a lot of questions in regards to the debt that the Mexican government's incurring and why they're doing this. What's your view, a general view about Mexico, beyond this, the rating that, and the comments that you made in this statement?
I think this is sort of the heart of the issue, that Mexico has done so many reforms that people have advocated for a long time, and in some ways it's sort of one of the world leaders in doing those things. And the expectation had been, go all the way back to NAFTA, right up to the oil reform that was done 2 years ago, that once you do these things, that there would be an acceleration of growth and faster prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't just stabilize the country and prevent you from going backwards. It wouldn't just avoid the crises of the past, but there would actually be, you know, an upside that things would move faster. Mm-hmm. That just hasn't happened for lots of reasons. There's a lot of controversy about it, but I think it's not that the reform necessarily was good or bad. I think they were good reforms, but, you know, if you look a little deeper and you find that there are other issues which are not economic in nature, which also have a huge impact, and that's where the shortcomings are very obvious.
Give us some examples of what you're talking about.
One obvious issue is the whole problem with crime and violence, which is an old story perhaps for anyone living in Mexico, but, you know, people have done estimates. The government itself, through the statistical agency, has sort of done some surveys, and they're saying that they lose about 1 percentage point of GDP growth every year because of the crime problem. Now, it's difficult to prove these things. These are estimates, but, you know, you can connect that with anecdotes of talking to people, especially people who might have invested or might have spent more money had they perceived better security in their neighborhood, in their town. Mm-hmm. So this is not an economic issue in the sense of, you know, inflation or something, but this is a question of governance and corruption, things like that. And that had a certain cost on the economy.
Mm-hmm.
There are other issues which, you know, not necessarily are related to crime, but in some ways the way Mexico is governed has changed tremendously from before 2000, when the last, CEDEO's pre-administration left office. I mean, the country is very, very different in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the transition in terms of having good institutions that are accountable and that can deliver good services, obviously, there's a lot to be said, a lot of gaps in that. And that's a question of governance, not necessarily that you have bad policy, but regardless of the policy you have to implement it. And that's where, you know, I think there's a lot of shortcomings in this.
Mm-hmm.
One interesting, you know, if you do a comparison, maybe if this sounds too abstract, just look at, consider Mexico to be several countries. If you just look at the different states, according to the data that I've seen, if you take the six fastest growing states in Mexico
mm-hmm.
over the last 5 years, they've been growing at almost 5% a year, you know, from 2011 to 2015. 5% growth is fantastic.
Right.
Then if you take the bottom six states in Mexico, they've been growing at less than 1%. Okay, so they're both in the same country, same peso, the same central bank, same NAFTA and all
mm-hmm.
of that. When you get to the grassroots level, you find that in some parts of the country, you know, things come together much better, whether it's security, whether it's government working with the private sector, or what have you, the schools and
mm-hmm.
the universities working with employers. There's a lot of different success stories there, which tells you that things can be much better. But the fact that there's so few success stories compared to sort of the overwhelming average for the rest of the country, just tells you really it's a question of governance and sort of better public institutions to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the wrong economic policy per se.
It's just getting things done. Wow. It's great to talk to you. Unfortunately, we ran out of time, so you got to promise me you're going to come back really soon, because I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions. And, of course, you know, one of the issues here has to do with the debt, and even though Secretary Luis Videgaray has made some statements where he absolutely promises that Mexico's not going to be incurring more debt, of course, there's a lot of doubts in terms of whether he's going to be able to fulfill that promise. So anyway, we're going to be following that also very closely here on Imagen News. Promise me you'll come back, Joy Depp.
Thank you very much. I'd love to.
Thank you. That was Joy Depp Mukherjee. He is the analyst primarily responsible for Mexico's foreign sovereign debt at Standard & Poor's. Anyway, that's it. That's it for this show. I'm Ana María Salazar. Bye-bye.